That's Alexa. Is that who that was?
No, it's Google.
A Google. Okay.
Yeah. You got to be nice to the AI, so when they take over, you're one of the favored servants or something, you know?
Do you like get them cookies or what's the story?
You compliment them every once in a while, you know, tell them thank you, great job getting my last result that I asked for, you know, that kind of thing. Turn off the lights, please, you know, that kind of thing.
Totally. So, Charles, did you get assigned to a jury today?
I did not. I did not. I told them that if I was assigned to a jury, then that I wouldn't be able to get out the vote for Joe Biden. And so they totally understood and they let me go.
Wow.
That's not true. Don't believe that's not true. That's a broken court system if they do that. They're not supposed to be partisan. I did have to sit through Zoom jury duty, though.
Yeah.
Holy cow, that is the worst kind of jury duty. If you've ever done that, you have to stare at the screen and do nothing else.
We're going to get started here with Action Index in just a moment. But how many people on this Zoom call, just by a show of hands, have responded and reported for jury duty at some point?
How many have done it during quarantine? Nobody?
Nobody.
You're
No.
special.
I think they're coming after me. That's what it is. They know I'm a part of common power, and they're coming after me. David, you're next.
Remember, I did back-to-back juries last year.
You did. I know they tried to take you out, man.
Yeah. Hope everybody's doing okay. We're gonna get started in about 1 minute here. I'm also recording this. So it'll go up on our video maybe, but for sure on our podcast. So if you're listening to this on a podcast, we're getting close to starting. We're getting close. Having folks come on in for our Action Index. It's October 12th, 3 weeks and 1 day of voting left.
And oh my goodness, Georgia.
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness. And not surprising at all, but terrible all the same.
Yeah. Let's start with the video of Georgia. I got the video, one of the ones you probably saw today.
Let's do it.
Right, this is one of the videos from one of the locations in Georgia today. Come on, get out of the way. Let's see here. Here we go. So this is somebody driving up to the location for everybody that's about to see this. This is the line. Can you see it? Okay. This is the line of folks waiting to go in to vote. And you might have seen some of the interviews, people that were waiting 5 hours, 7 hours to vote. First day of early voting in person in the state of Georgia.
David?
120,000 people voted today in Georgia, three times the record on the first day of voting. Yeah, Christine.
I was just going to ask if they were waiting so long because they wouldn't let them in. But it sounds like they're waiting so long because more people are voting than ever before.
There were technical difficulties happening in Georgia, a bunch of them.
Okay. Because Charles was really discouraged when he said, or I thought that's what I heard in your tone, oh my goodness, Georgia. You didn't sound like a happy person.
No, because the reason why the reason why the lines are long is because they're meant to be long. That's the reason why. It's because it was designed to be that way. If they wanted to make it easy for people of color and poor people and young people to vote in that state, then it'd be easy, like it is in Washington. When voting is difficult in a state, it's intentional. If people are waiting in line for 7 hours, that's intentional. That's by design. That is how the system has been built. If the software fails, it was meant to not be reliable. If there's not enough places for people to safely line up, and they all have to go to the same place, and so there's hundreds and hundreds of people in line for hours, that is by design. There could be more polling places. This is all these folks could have all safely voted by mail.
Exactly. So what I'm asking. So they're not allowed to vote by mail or drop their ballot into a ballot box. They have to stand in line.
They can vote by mail, some of them. The system is not reliable enough. And so they're choosing to vote in person. Because if I lived in Georgia, I wouldn't trust the post office either. And I wouldn't trust ballot boxes and stuff that are, some of them are fake in some states, you know, out of California. I would want to do it in person as well if I didn't trust the system. It's all a higher level commentary on voter suppression generally, right, David?
Yeah. So, I mean, in these states that make it harder to vote, they particularly make it hard to vote in certain geographical areas that correlate with certain demographic groups. And, you know, that's one of the main things we work at here in Common Power is an attempt to overcome that. And that's going to be job one in 2021. And it's going to be job one in Georgia in 2023 after we win the governor's race there with Stacey Abrams. All right. So really, really glad everybody's here for Action Index. Here's a couple things we want to do in the next 50 minutes. We want to provide our update of our rankings of states. Second, we want to list and then really encourage you to join certain states that could use some more volunteers and also are really important in the election. Third, we want to laugh a little bit because you got to feed the soul a bit. And then fourth, we're going to do questions about anything you want to talk about. We got 3 weeks and 5 hours, 6 hours, depending on where you're living, till the voting is done. But they're voting in most states now in America. So let's start with a little, let's move along with another little video clip here. This is a little humor here. This is a TikTok, as the kids say. So this is somebody, she could easily be in Common Power. She's not. Can you see this or no?
Yep.
Okay.
So I put up my Biden-Harris sign last week, and my conservative neighbors have been losing their mind. So let me give you a peek at what they decided to do. So here is my sign. And then they decided to go full on crazy and go right up to the line. So clearly they don't know who they picked a sign war with. It's on, part two coming up.
All right, it's on.
Large and small battles all around the country. Fight however you can. That's the message there.
Good for her.
Yes.
All right, Charles, you want to go through the index? Want to start us off here?
Yeah.
I'm going to make you a co-host, so in case you want to share or not share, whatever.
Sure.
Okay.
Also, thank you.
You just got muted. Sorry.
It's been a heavy few weeks, and if you've been volunteering as well, you've been carrying a lot right now. So thank you for spending another hour with us just to hang out and learn a little bit and be in community outside of your normal teams. If you're doing the team thing right now, which I hope everyone is doing a little bit of it at least. I'm going to share the homepage here. Action Index is on the homepage as well as its own dedicated page. So if you're looking for the latest, this is where it'll be. If you want to send people here, this is where it is. That's how you find this, where you're at now. But past the mindset and the circles and past the election season, you'll find our Action Index update. And here it is. Here's the update as of today, the 12th. This is the easiest way to find it. Just go to the homepage. There's also here, State Action Index. So that's got some further detail. So we can go to either one of these, but we can stop here for now if you want, David, or we can go to the click into the paradigm shifting states in the Senate states if you want.
Here, let's just stay here for a second.
Sure.
In making these rankings, the goal here is to really highlight where we are at this exact moment in this election. So this is not a stand back and think about it in a broader existential sense about what are the most important states. This is a where can common power make a difference in the election right now, today, 3 weeks to go. These are the states that I think that I believe should be the ones that we can make the most difference in. Charles and I haven't had a chance to talk in depth about these, so I'm not sure if he buys everything I'm saying here. But this is the rankings that I think reflect where we can make the most difference. Most of these states that are in the top 10 have Senate races. So we can flip the Senate. Pennsylvania is the key state at this time. It's the state that Biden has traveled to the most. It's the state that Trump has traveled to the most. It's got 20 electoral votes. And so it's really a tipping point state. And it also is close. It's the closest of those kind of key states across the top of the Midwest, the Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania group. Arizona, still very important, got multiple elections we can win there, Senate, President, flip the legislature. We're investing even more in trying to flip the legislature there now. Iowa with Teresa Greenfield, so very, very important in the Senate race. That could be the key to the Senate right there. North Carolina, Cal Cunningham has done stupid things as a senator, but he seems to be hanging on to a pretty decent lead there. And the public is kind of looking at a range of things that the Trump administration and Tom Tillis have done that are also ethically offensive. Georgia looking really, really close. Kansas, Dr. Barbara Bollier seems to either be neck and neck or even perhaps have a slight lead in the Senate there. So these are places where we think we can really make a difference today. So if you are on these teams already, any of these top 20 teams, we're asking you to see how much more we can give. How much more can each of us give and do in the next 3 weeks?
David, I have a question for you.
I just joined back into the North Carolina team, but it seems like all of the efforts are on electing down ballot people, not with no effort in the Senate race. So is that helpful just to be working on down ballot folks?
So Elise, appreciate the question. You know, our entire approach is that we can elect people up and down a ballot. So we are working on electing state legislators who could flip the legislature. Those votes will also go to support any statewide candidates as well. So when you try to elect somebody in a state legislature race or in a congressional legislature race, you are also, by definition, assuming the voter votes on all the races above the ballot. You're assuming they're going to vote as well in the Senate race and in the presidential race. So in North Carolina, like in Arizona, like in Iowa, like in Texas, the races go so far down into the state that we think it's the most impactful to work upwards from those state legislature races because we can get them all. We can impact them all. So yes, the answer is yes.
Yeah, so if you notice, I mean, you notice in a bunch of these states, there's very few of them that are doing calling for Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And it's not because we don't want Joe Biden to win, obviously. But the theory is that you start at the bottom and you activate people with candidates and issues that are most relevant to their lives. It's really, really, really tough to get folks to who are not used to voting or who in the past have been against voting to understand why they should vote at the presidential level. It's the local stuff that matters the most. And at least you know this from knocking on doors, right? It's the local issues that actually activate people, right? We also know that on the left, there are all kinds of progressive issues that are like non-people related or non-candidate related, like marijuana legalization, that are enough to turn out the type of voter that you want, that we think are gonna vote our way. And so the same goes for thinking in all these states, is we're choosing a very targeted swing district. And we think that if we can get folks to turn out in that area, those types of voters for that type of candidate, that we're gonna get folks all the way up the chain, we're gonna get those voters to vote all the way up the ballot on our side.
Actually, you know, Charles, we can say even more about this particular instance in North Carolina because we sat down with some partners there, and they specifically told us that people of color and less regular voters are much more interested in local elections than they are who's running for the president or Cal Cunningham who's running for the Senate. They specifically said that they're not that excited, many of those voters, about Biden or Cunningham. But they are really concerned about local taxes and roads and healthcare and education. So they even have a favorite five that partners were working with there, the favorite five candidates in the state that they're working on behalf of. And they're all state candidates. They're all state candidates.
I did some phone banking in Minnesota this week for a state Senate and state House offices. And I have never had so many people be interested in talking to me, because they didn't really know anything about their candidates. They get a lot of the big national ones on the news. That's all over the media, but they really, it's like, oh no, who is it again? It's not on their radar yet, even though they may even have their ballot sitting on their dining room table. So it was actually more fun to do it for a local candidate.
Yeah, and they the folks who operate in more red-ish states have also told us, the orgs, that the most entrenched voting positions are around the top of the ticket folks. So if you start the conversation there, you have already lost the folks you might want to talk to if they disagree with you. Whereas if you start at the down ballot folks, then you find common ground.
I don't know if this is the right time to ask this question, but related to getting voters interested in voting in local issues, does that conversation track with young voters? I'm on the TAG project in Arizona, and I probably have 25 people who are voting either for the first time or they have not reached the age of 30. And it's very focused on local issues. Is there anything to add for that particular voter? Or you can come back to this.
I don't think they're that different from your core voter that you're trying to get to be activated right now. Most folks that didn't vote in 2016 didn't do it because they didn't have the information or they were disaffected in some way. So you're trying to win some folks back and communicate with a bunch of them the reasons for why they should care enough to vote, why they should spend time to do the research and take the time out. Because as we're seeing, it's time, right? You know, if you're going to go vote in person, it's hours and hours. So the convincing them is it's all very, very similar. It's all very similar. So I wouldn't say there's like a very, like a specific youth angle here.
Okay, thank you.
You know, Cynthia, I want to take what Charles said a couple minutes ago, though. He laid out two things that really matter to connecting with people for local, around a local elections. The first is he did mention maybe younger voters a little bit, but I think the more important point that Charles, you referenced was people who don't vote often, okay, or maybe never voted. There, and of course that correlates with younger voters. We know that because they're new into the system, maybe less likely to have voted, but it isn't because they're younger, it's because they're newer to the system. And when you talk to them about the fact that, you know, your parking fees are gonna drop, or you're not gonna go to jail, you're not gonna go to jail for certain transgressions if you elect this person and this person, wow, that stuff really matters.
Yeah.
Let's hop into the Action Index page, Charles, so we can talk about the states we wanna emphasize.
Sure. Okay, so yeah, more tab up here and then State Action Index right there. So there's the map again, but then we talk about our methodology on the left and then these two really important areas here, the Senate races for each of the states and then the what we call paradigm shift, which is really a kind of a cultural shift in what the core voting blocks are in this country. Where do you want to start?
Did you down below? I didn't have a chance to look. Did you have a down below, like where we want volunteers?
I did not. I didn't because we didn't sync on whether or not those highlighted states were in the year. And then Maggie sent hers, so we can do that part verbally, I think.
Okay. I do want to ask you a question though, just a little behind the scenes stuff from you and me to everybody. Those numbers that are in the maps, yeah, right? When you enter them for one map, do they automatically enter for all the maps?
No, man, this is a highly manual thing. These are images. These are images that I gotta create these dang things.
So I'm amazed, cause I haven't done an analysis of this, but if you didn't make a mistake across any of these, that's amazing, all right?
I've gotten really used to maps. working at CP and managing the website. Maps are very, very important.
All right, let's talk about the states that we think are really important. Let's start, Charles and I will probably have a little bit of disagreement here, and that's good. That's helpful. Let's stay focused on the Senate there for a moment.
Okay.
I think we have 100% agreement, do we not, Charles, that we definitely want to push as hard as we can in the states of Alaska and Kansas.
Totally.
This is a combination for us as an organization of states that have not gotten as large a teams to them because we haven't pushed them so far, and also states that are becoming really, really interesting in the Senate races now. As an example, the Republican Senate PAC, which is Mitch McConnell's PAC, just announced today that they're putting money into Alaska to try to protect the Republican incumbent there. That's not where the Republicans want to be when they're 3 weeks out, but that's an indication that Al Gross and Elise Galvin, the two candidates who are really supporting in that state for the Senate and for the House, are doing well. So right now, if you are already on Team Kansas or Alaska, we are asking you to do more. If you're not on those teams and you're on another team, you're on two teams, we're asking you to join these teams for action days, at least, at least for action days. We need you there. We can win those states. And the difference between winning 50 Senate seats and winning 53, 54, 55 is a complete game changer for policies.
Huge. It's huge. Imagine what's going on the right now, where there's a three senators that they're worried about flipping on them. That'll be the case if we get the majority too. If we have a healthy majority, we won't have to worry about those two, three middle of the road senators not going our way on legislation, not holding our majority hostage. This is big. This is big. This is the map is stretching, and we're excited about these races that we were not talking about 9 months ago. Kansas, we were not talking about this.
Yeah, she's Dr. Barbara Bollier would be the first senator to be an MD right now. Not first ever, but the first one in this Congress to be an MD. I believe that's so. Al Gross is also a doctor. I just thought of that. They both would be, okay? Mm-hmm. So Charles West just asked a really great question in the chat that I think you're always much better at than me addressing. I can talk about the states and the candidates and the strategy, but West just said, what does do more look like? Okay.
Do more is relative. That's why we don't say everyone, make 50 more calls or something, or choose one more state. It's relative to what you think you can do. If you feel like you're stretched to the limit and you're crying yourself to sleep every night, maybe you shouldn't do any more. Maybe you've done your more that you can do. But if you say, I'm devoting a day a week to this work, a couple days a week to this work, maybe I can do a third day a week, because a third day a week really is, we're talking three more days. This is 3 weeks. Whatever you say that you're going to do per week right now, you're just doing three more times. That's it. That's it. So it's really not any major commitment. You're going to hold your breath, and it'll be a November 3rd. So whatever you think your ceiling is, if you think like, no, I can't do that. Nope, can't do calling. I'm only doing texting. Nope, I can't do two states. I'm only doing one. Can't do three states. I'm already doing two. Whatever you think your limit is, you push past it. That's what we're asking. If you play bridge with your crew once a week, maybe you can put that off for 3 weeks for the country, your book club. There was a lady who was on our intro workshop last week who told her family, her kids and her grandkids, that she can't see them for the next 3 weeks because she's going to be making calls for our democracy. That's the kind of thing that we're asking for right now.
Yeah, she doesn't want to make calls either, right? Remember that?
That's right. She has to graduate up, and she's going to try to work her way up. But she's going from doing nothing to telling her grandkids that, I'm not going to see you. Grandma's not going to see you for 3 weeks because I'm working.
Yeah. So do more is add a state or add a day of the week or add an hour. I know we're not in the zone of being comfortable here. And as a, particularly as a relatively affluent individual living here in Seattle, the ability to give it everything we've got is significant. And those folks are standing in line for 7 hours in Georgia to vote. They are not standing in line for 7 hours in Georgia just because they love to vote. That is not why they're in line. They're in line in Georgia because their lives are at stake. This is what they are doing. This is the modern version, the 50 years later, marching across the Selma Edmund Pettus Bridge, right? So for all of us to do more, yeah, we can. We can do more.
Mm-hmm. So yes, and some of those people are risking their jobs. There are people out there who told their managers probably, hey, it's only going to be this long, and it's been longer. These are folks with hourly jobs, some of them. Some of them are, they left their kids at home, or their health is at risk, and they have somebody at home whose health is at risk, and they're standing in line for 7 hours. What can we do to get a little less comfortable, to risk a little bit more? Not asking you to risk your lives. Don't do that. But just a little more of your comfort, risk more of that for the sake of these folks.
So Charles, we're agreement that we want, we have action days coming up for Kansas. We have action days coming up for Alaska. All right. Kansas is this week. Alaska's next week. Denise says that she got rid of her comfort zone because she joined Deep Red. You got to like huge. That, right?
It's really big.
But
Deep Red is Paul's not here, is he? He's probably making phone calls. Deep Red is about as serious as you can get. You're calling into places that we could lose every single one of those races. Paul runs that like the tightest ship that we have. That is the most productive team at CP. There's no game plan there.
For Deep Red, it's Paul and Sherry Wilson has come on.
Yeah, that's right.
So they have added. So let's just talk about Deep Red for a second because it's a place where we could use some more work too. Sure. It's South Carolina with Jamie Harrison in the Senate race there, plus Joe Cunningham in the House race. It's Utah's 5th congressional district with Kendra Horn, and it's Ben McAdams in the 4th congressional district in Utah, and it's Doug Jones in Alabama.
I got to update the website, man. I have to update the website.
They're taking on two more because Charles and I said, hey, you're doing really great. Guess what? You know what happens when you do really great? We ask you to do more, man. So they are adding, starting this weekend, the Mississippi Senate race because Mike Espy, it's a long shot, but nothing would make me happier than, well, Jamie Harrison beating Lindsey Graham might make me happy, but yeah. Mike Espy winning, he's a quality human being. Winning in Mississippi would be awesome in the Senate race there. And also we're taking on the Arkansas 2nd, where Joyce Elliott is the Little Rock area in Arkansas. We've been specifically requested by a partner org to invest there as well.
So I think you all have seen the emails from last week where we talked about the numbers that we're doing as an organization. 200,000 contacts a week is pretty dang good. That's phone calls, texts, and letters. Deep Red alone has done 48,000 calls. Last week they did 6,000 calls and 1,000 texts. It's a lot of good work. And stretching the map, making folks play defense. Those are all, when they look at weekly polling numbers now, or every few days internal polling numbers, they're looking at polling numbers in places in South Carolina, Alabama, Utah, Oklahoma, and they're wondering right now how the heck these numbers are going against them right now. They're playing defense in those places that they normally wouldn't have to spend any money in. They wouldn't.
Nancy, you asked if it's auto dialer. And the reality is that it's mostly auto dialer, but not entirely. Yep. Charles, can we go back to the map, please?
Yep.
So we're asking for engagement in Kansas this week, Alaska next week, Deep Red for the rest of the time. Again, Deep Red covers 4 states. We're also
5 now.
It is 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, and then Mississippi. All right. Oh, right there. Yeah.
Right there. Yeah. We also want support, and Shelby just joined the team. I mean, just joined us because I have to let people in through the waiting room. We need and want more support in Ohio because it's a razor's edge close right now. Joe Biden looks to have taken a slight lead in Ohio, and no Republican has ever won the presidency without winning the state of Ohio. And Kate Schroeder is running in the Ohio 1st, which is the most flippable district in the state. It's rated as a toss-up. So when we call for the 1st congressional district, to pick back up on Elisa's question earlier, we are also calling for the statewide races of the presidency there, plus a couple state Supreme Court elections that are really important in that state. So Kansas, Alaska, Deep Red, and Ohio. All right, where else should we ask people to invest?
Ohio announces its early in-person voting and mail-in voting results first on election night. Really? That's interesting. Okay.
Florida does pretty much the same thing.
Okay.
Yep.
Can I ask a general question about, it's a little different, you know, how do I create some more time?
Sure.
So since I'm new to Oregon, I've been getting involved with a local county commission, okay? I don't think we've been doing calls, and I haven't seen it on the deep red list here. So in the Deschutes County Commission in Oregon. So a very serious question, actually. So I've been trying to, you know, I've made a whole bunch of calls there. So two questions. One, I have not been registering those on our website because they aren't, you know, Oregon's not on our list. So I'm just confirming that I haven't put any common power behind those numbers. Second, how do you help us address any me or anybody else who on the call who are doing non-common power listed events? And I know, you know, you want to be, you know, anyhow. So how, what do you think about, give us some direction to take my hours that I've done for a county commission here and put them into Alaska, Kansas, you know, the others.
Yeah. So on counting your numbers, I think it makes the most sense if we track the stuff that you do under Common Power program.
Right.
So if you're making calls for a state that you're on that team, and it's on your own time, then that's totally fine. And then count that as common power. But if you join like a swing left effort, you know, cause they're going to report that time too. They're going to, the calls, they're going to report those calls too. You know, we probably shouldn't report those also. Well, that said, we've got enough folks who do calling for us that don't report that it's probably a wash. You know, if you have reported your stuff for us, we've got a ton of folks that have done calls and texts and stuff, postcards, through our programs that haven't reported. And so it's totally fine.
Yeah. On your second question, Wes, let's Charles, can you blow up the paradigm shift piece? So those states in brown, whether they're in light brown or darker brown, are states where if the Democrats were to win in the races that we're invested in those states, it would change the national dialogue and policies around issues that we think are really important for a just and inclusive democracy. So the commitment, Wes, that we make to you and everybody in Common Power is that we're gonna select engagement in places that are gonna have maximal impact. We're not gonna be in overly red that are a waste of our time. Even our deep red is strategically carefully vetted. And we're not gonna be in blue. We're not gonna be in Massachusetts, for example, or Oregon, or in Portland. Right, that area. Now, it's not that those elections aren't important. Every election is important. Every single election is important. But for the American democracy that we're trying to turn this tanker ship around on, the reality is that the states that we have invested in, those ones in the brown, are particularly paradigm shift states. It's the North Carolina. It's Virginia is purple on here because we've already helped to turn it. When we're going to keep trying, we'll be back there in force in 2021, but we've already made some inroads there. In South Carolina, if Jamie Harrison wins and Joe Cunningham holds, wow, man, we're changing things. In Georgia, what if Biden wins there and we won one, two Senate seats and flip the state house? Whoa, Florida, if we could get those folks who are formerly incarcerated, returning citizens to vote, wow, that's changing the game. Alabama, Doug Jones, and right next to that, Mississippi, we're adding Mike Espy. That would change the whole dialogue about who we are as a country if the Democrats begin to win across these places. And then you get to the mother load, Texas, all right? Texas, as soon as I'm doing a lecture tonight, the first of my three lectures on this election. And as part of tonight's lecture, I'll be talking about the Electoral College. As soon as Democrats get close and win, or maybe even win Texas, Republicans are going to want to get rid of the Electoral College, just like Democrats are. So that's a game changer. And if you could win the House in that state, then the state House, then you can change redistricting in that state, which is massive. and over to Arizona. You know, Democrat hasn't won Arizona since 1996, and we're on the verge of having two Democratic senators in that state, plus flipping the state legislature. You know, Utah, Ben McAdams in Salt Lake City, that would be awesome. And then in Kansas, a Democratic senator in Kansas to go with a Democratic governor, Laura Kelly, who won in 2018. So these are all places where we can change the future of this country with some of these elections. That's my best pitch.
David or Charles, I have a question for you. This is John. When you were encouraging us to expand our horizons and volunteer to do Alaska and Kansas, were you referring only to the Senate races and those organizations in those states that are focusing on the Senate races, or just in general, any organization that's working in those two states?
We're talking about our organization and our work in those states. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's anything is directed by the teams that are in those states.
Sure.
So go to the fieldwork page and sign up, whatever they've got you working on plug into that work. Okay. And then, I mean, if you've got additional, and those are your favorite states, you could always do more on your own, but we ask first that you help out that team.
Yeah. I've only been volunteering so far in North Carolina, but I volunteered for three different organizations there. Mm. So I just wanted to make sure that if I jumped into Kansas or Alaska, it could be any, you might have multiple organizations working in those states. I don't know.
In Kansas, we're working directly for Dr. Barbara Beaulieu.
Okay.
And we're probably, in the calling we're doing for her, I think we're calling mostly into the first congressional district, which is the one contested district in the state. Okay. In Alaska, we're calling for Al Gross and Elise Galvin.
Okay.
In Alaska, Wyoming, and Montana, those are states that have only one House of Representative members. So those are statewide races, the House race as well. So in Alaska, we've got a statewide Senate and a statewide House. And just to get really down in the weeds here, if somehow the presidential election gets contested all the way to the House of Representatives, the way it works is that each House of Representatives delegation gets one vote per state. So whoever controls the House of Representatives delegation from that state, whichever party, gets a vote. And if we were to flip Alaska from Republican to Democrat and get rid of Don Young, who's been in office since 1933, I think, then that actually puts us at even nationally, okay? And then we got a chance in Minnesota and in Arizona to do that as well. So come work with us, and you'll end up working directly for the senators and Elise Galvin as well in Alaska.
Okay. Thanks, Charles and David. I understand.
Great. Team lead for Kansas. Who's the team lead for Kansas?
Emily and Abby.
Emily and Abby. And there's a third. Isn't there a third?
It is Rachel Walker.
Okay. Okay. So the best way to get on that list is to go to the fieldwork map and then join the team. And then the next meeting, they'll just email everybody. Also, check on the fieldwork page, there's always the calendar. Look for the next Kansas meeting. Let me show you really quickly here. If you just want to hop into the action for any state that we have here at CP, so hit up the fieldwork tab here at the top. You're going to scroll down to the calendar here.
Hey, while Charles is scrolling down there, Abby, I see your question about poll watching. That is not a point of focus for us. There is, without a doubt, in every state, a very active group of folks that are doing poll watching. They're mostly interested in people from within the states that are doing that, because some states require you to be within the state. That's not a point of focus for us.
Yeah, and to your point there about trying to get a hold of folks, and it's just it's tough to answer individual emails. You know, when people email somebody's organizing hundreds of people, they have the choice of taking, you know, those 5-10 minutes to answer one person, or to spend those on, you know, a plan for multiple people, and they choose the thing that's going to activate the most folks. So this is, you know, we're in that territory right now of the election season. We've been in it for a while, where the best thing to do is not to try to email one individual for your one question. The best thing to do is to find the channels and jump into the stream, the flow down the funnel of people. And I wish I knew what it was for poll watching. That's something that I don't know a lot about right now.
I will just add on that Mark Elias, who's a major lead national figure on lawsuits for the Democrats, Mark Elias, E-L-I-A-S. He's engaged in a poll watching organization. So you can search him for poll watching and find something.
E-L-I-A-S. So here's the map here, and there's a ton of stuff going on. And I'm going to go here and type in Kansas. And there you go. There's everything that's going on for Kansas with our organization. Like, there's some action days coming up here. And there's their regular monthly Zoom meeting.
Now, is that everything in Kansas, or is there more if you join the Kansas team?
Oh, there's probably going to be more. You know, the leads put up their own info here.
So let's go to Kansas. Let's go take a look.
Yeah. So there's the action days in these 2 days here, and then there's the monthly team meeting. So maybe they've got other. They could have other things.
Yeah. So if you click on the map, you go to the Kansas team page.
Oh, sure.
And then they're gonna have a Google Doc down at the bottom. And I have no idea how Charles and others have built this, but they have. Okay, they've somehow built this on the website. And so here's the actions that are going on in Kansas this week. There's various things.
This is updated. So this is as of today. This is everything through the week. So these are what they've done here, and some teams do this, is they just pull from the Mobilize website. And these are things that folks are either doing individually, or they kind of gather up, you know, depending on the team, and do it together. So these are all phone banking options. These are text banking options. And then it looks here, they've got planned get togethers. So they'll probably, you go and do the work, and these Mobilize apps are links, and then you come to these events and kind of talk about the work that you've done. It's different depending on the state. Some state teams have really tight relationships with the local Dems, and there's a lot more coordination. But you know, each state is its own kind of animal. Some of these states we didn't have any, you know, we didn't have any business in back in 2018. But the ones that we've been in for a few years now, we've formed some pretty deep relationships. So they're just different depending on the state.
I want to take up Paul's question about Michigan and Wisconsin. They've both gone down the list. So what does that mean? What it means is that we believe, in terms of what Common Power can do right now, that our investments in those two states need to just stay the course. None of these numbers, any of those states, I mean, all of these states are important. Every state is important. But we feel that our investment in the higher ranked states are where we can elevate and push even further. Like, if you take into account the fact that about 20%, a little bit more maybe, in Florida has already voted. They've already voted. In Wisconsin, about a third of folks have already voted. All right. In Michigan, I know that several 600,000-700,000 folks have voted. So we can get out more votes, but we're already having a big impact there, and we want to keep that. But when you go down to these states with a Kansas, an Alaska, a North Carolina, where you go up and down the ballot, with an Arizona up and down the ballot, and they have not voted in the same numbers yet in the same way, and they have Senate races, Wisconsin doesn't, and they have all these other pieces. Michigan has all those races, but we feel like we're in good shape, and there's a lot of outside money. Other people, other orgs have put a lot of investment into Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, but we happen to be located in Pennsylvania in like the sweet spot in Erie County, which is where Joe Biden was on Saturday. All right, so our Pennsylvania team with Nancy LaRusso and Sly Khan and Russ Goychev are at ground zero in Pennsylvania, working for Christy Ganibus in the Pennsylvania 16th Congressional District, the swing district in the state. And I know, Nancy, you were on this call. So, Nancy, could you come off of mute and tell us just why Pennsylvania is so awesome and why we need to be there?
Well, one of the reasons Pennsylvania is so awesome is many of you may have seen some of the national newspapers talk about specifically the county of Westmoreland, which is just outside of Pittsburgh, and Erie County, both of which are kind of collar counties to two blue dots, the blue dots being Pittsburgh and Erie themselves. And what's interesting about the Christy Ganibus race in particular is she's going up against an incumbent who's been in Congress since 2011, Mike Kelly. He is one of 17 congressional Republicans who would not disavow QAnon. And he's just so out of touch with the average person in Pennsylvania, in Western Pennsylvania. Many of you already know the margin that Trump won in Pennsylvania was 44,292 votes. And, our other partner in Pennsylvania is PA United with local chapters throughout the counties. And they are basically the ones who are involved with the deep canvas conversations, kind of like Deep Red is probably doing, in that you are trying to find common ground with folks who have not seen any benefit from a Trump administration. And it's very clear they don't have their health care, they don't have their jobs, they haven't seen their wages improved. It's a very working class area and a very rural area. And there are those that can be persuaded through a common value, common interest, common humanity point of view. And we're making progress. We're making really good progress there. Plug for a day of action for PA United. It's on our Team PA webpage for this weekend. Two full days. They want 500 volunteers. And they have a lot of people coming from the West Coast who are participating with that. And they're going to try to reach every persuadable voter over the 2 days. And then Team PA's Action Days are coming up next week, and they're going to be awesome. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, special activities. If you want to come see David Domke interview one of his former students, who is brilliantly president of local U.S. United Steelworkers, Local 1088, and also like a co-creator of the Blue-Green Alliance. It's going to be phenomenal. Environmentalism and labor movement. It's going to be great. So we're going to have a big, big, interesting conversation to kick off our first evening. So yeah, come join us. Love to have you.
Here's the, this is the Christy Ganibus poster. We met with her on our road trip, and she is awesome. And like everybody, they have these stories of people, like everybody who's running, they have these incredible stories. Am I correct, Nancy, remembering that she had cancer at the age of 20? Is that right?
Sophomore in college, ovarian cancer survivor, figured out the healthcare system, Medicaid, single mom, raising two teenage girls, teacher, working as an Uber driver, plus a bartender when the bars were open just to make ends meet. And her mom, I have got her mom, who would not get on the phone for her own daughter, is now phone banking with me twice a week. I host the phone banks, and we're having a good time. And Joe Biden endorsed Christy on Friday night, I believe it was. So it's super, super exciting. And just a little note, like, the PA Dems are dumping all their money into their state Senate race. They really need to flip their state Senate. And this race has been completely overlooked. I think it's going to be a dark horse race. And I just would love nothing better to help her to gain that seat in the U.S. Congress, because I think she'd make a great addition. A teacher would be a great addition. If anybody has seen our... I'm forgetting who it is from California who just drags those pharmaceutical execs. Katie Porter. Katie Porter was a teacher. Just bring the whiteboard and school some people in the House. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, Nancy.
Yeah.
Charles, can you stop sharing screen and we'll start to wrap up? I have another piece I want to share, and we'll see if there's any final questions.
Okay.
I want to share a clip. Let's see. Not a clip. A couple tweets from today. So let's see here. This is a tweet from earlier today about Texas voter registration. Texas has added 300,000 more voters in 2 weeks. In the last 2 weeks, there has been an awful lot of discussion in the blogosphere, or that term's dated, in the online internet political environment of the Ruth Bader Ginsburg voter reg moment. Okay, that since her passing and the response of the Republicans to it, there have been more voters registering than we had seen all year because of COVID. So Texas has 1.8 million more voters than they had in 2016. And Beto O'Rourke lost the Senate race by 200,000 votes in 2018. So we can flip this state. And then if you go down into the first sets of comments that were part of that tweet, somebody asked right off the bat, which three counties have added the most voters since 2016? And it's Harris County, which is where Houston is, it's Bexar County, which is San Antonio, and it's Travis County, which is Austin. Those are overwhelmingly blue counties, okay? Overwhelmingly. It's a 500,000 more voters in three very blue counties. So then if you keep scrolling down here, they say, thank you, Beto, to the Beto O'Rourke group that's been texting and registering these voters, which, by the way, is who we're working through. It's one of the organizations we're working through in Texas. So I sent this information to Daniel, one of our team leads for Texas, and he immediately responded and said that they are seeking to send 500,000 texts, all told, for our Texas team by the time we're done to register voters. If we can flip Texas, the state legislature, a couple House seats, the Senate, the presidency, that's a paradigm shift.
That's huge. All right. I see some very focused faces here.
I'm looking at your face because I'm on speaker view, and I think you're very focused, man.
I am. I am like the community. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to fight. Keep fighting. The interesting thing about those three counties in Texas, 230,000 more in Harris County. That joker who runs that state wanted to give them one polling place. 230,000 more people registered. He wanted to give them one
wow,
polling
wait a minute. County, right? But they put a stay on.
They did. I know, they did. They did. Yeah. But still, he wanted to do it, right?
No, they still, it's still in place. The one is still in place.
Yeah, it flipped back. So Charles, in this podcast, Lincoln Project with Beto, about they wanted to contact 1 million people today, and talked about everything they were doing. He said the workarounds, there's one election guy in Harris County that is keeping his election site open 24 hours a day for drive-in. Because wow. they weren't able to get that, having the extra ballot boxes. So 24 hours a day, his election site is going to stay open.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Look, we're at a point in our country's history where things are so bad that it's going to take a ton of regular folks doing everything they can, and also some very unique, special individuals to be heroes. They're going to be heroes that are going to be popping up. They've already popped up everywhere, some small, some large, and we're going to need even more in the highest levels of this government to help get us through this election season. And when we're on the back end of this, we need to build a system that doesn't require heroes to function. It should not need people to be exceptional in order for democracy to function. We got to get back to that. So promise me when we get on the other side of this, you all will be back on these Zooms with us trying to get this thing back to some sort of normal.
Hey, Terry, since you're on the call, can you finish us up with a way that only you can, with a kick us in the ass. Let's go. Drop a few F-bombs. We need it a little bit.
Bring it home, Terry.
Wow. For that, I would have put on lipstick. You know, I'll just remind everybody, we had our Minnesota Action Days last weekend. Every minute of every action event where I had to make a phone call was painful for me. Mm. And I can talk to a piece of cement and feel good about it. It was hard. It was painful. But you lean in, you do it, you leave it all on the table. Because on November 4th, you don't want to look back and do a woulda, coulda, shoulda. So fucking A, David.
That's what I'm talking about.
Let's get our asses in gear. Let's do it. But trust me, guys, I'm just speaking personally. It was painful. Every call, every auto dialer, every hang up. But you know, you just do it. You just do it.
That's right. Hey. It's better than having to stand in line for 7 hours with COVID floating around just so you could vote once.
Wish we could be there. Pains my heart to not be.
I know. We'll get there. We will get back there. We got to do this first, though.
All right. And every once in a while, you have that amazing call that feels so good.
That's true.
You're right.
Let's finish. Actually, can you get the plug on that? We got three big folks joining us later this week. Right.
Oh shoot! Yeah, we got Susan Daggett coming, who's a superstar environmental lawyer in Colorado. She's married to a guy who ran for president, Michael Bennett, also pretty big shot in that state, and also Tammy Baldwin, state senator in Wisconsin, or U.S. senator. Excuse me, Tammy, U.S. senator representing Wisconsin. Those are lined up. These are the things that happen when you do the kind of work that we do. And there have been plenty of other guests at the state level that have showed up and, you know, Zoom calls for you all have probably seen elected officials show up numerous times, and it's because we're doing good work here.
Yeah. And Susan Daggett is working like Galvanize US is white women to white women, talking to them about their reasons for needing to move away from Trump. And there is some significant data that suggests that white women are swinging pretty strong away from Trump. So, you know, they got us into this problem. They should help get us out of this problem, right? And so I'm yeah.
You said it. Terry, thank you.
Thanks a lot, everybody.
Terry's much better in person, actually. You think there was something over Zoom in person. We'll get back to that, y'all. We will. Let's get back to work.
Hey, thanks, everybody. Let's get back to work.
Have a good night.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.